Hi, everybody. This is Viggy Parr Hampton, and this is Horror Humor Hunger. I'm here today with baker extraordinaire Becky Parr because, as always, we have a recipe at the end of every season because I've scared you, I've thrilled you, I've made you laugh, and now we're going to feed you. So today, some of the inspiration for this recipe is when I think of the laugh box, when I think of canned laughter, I think of sitcoms, and that makes me think of TV dinners. What about you, Mom?
Oh, yeah. But back in the day, that, you know, we considered that pretty high class.
Well, yes. I mean, I used to get really excited when somebody's like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have a Stouffer's lasagna because that was so good. Or Kid Cuisine. That was like my version of a TV dinner. But I mean, what do you think of when you think TV dinner?
Well, currently it's lean cuisine, you know, it's a diet thing. But when I was growing up, you know, it was a Swanson's turkey dinner or a Mexican one. Now, it was really fancy if you got the Mexican one, you know, and they had little desserts in there. And, you know, you just popped them in the oven. How easy is that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea kind of was also it's a balanced meal. You have your main course, you have some veggies as a side, and you have a dessert. It's all there. It's right there. It's convenient, right?
Right. And I think that was the big C of the whole thing. It certainly probably is not the best currently, but at the time we thought it was the epitome of, you know, style, class, and convenience.
Yes. And I mean, even now, the frozen foods aisle can be very exciting because there's all sorts of interesting things there. But in order to make this recipe, we wanted to do a play on a TV dinner, but we made it healthier and, dare I say, more delicious without losing too much of the convenience of a traditional sort of pop in the oven or pop out of the freezer and into the oven TV dinner. Would you agree with that, Mom?
I would.
All right. So this is going to be a three-part thing because, you know, we've got our main course, we've got our vegetable, and we've got our dessert. So we're going to start with the dessert just because while this is baking, you could be making the other components of the recipe. So our dessert is a walnut brownie. And since we're both gluten-free, I know not everybody is, but that's how we're going to bake it. This recipe uses almond flour, which has a lot of vitamins. And it also has very few ingredients, which that to me means convenience. I don't know about you.
That's true.
So we adapted this recipe from Alana's Pantry, and I will also include that link in the show notes. But this one, it is a delicious dark chocolate brownie studded with walnuts and more chocolate chips. So I don't know about you, but that just says yum to me.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't like a good brownie?
Exactly. So we're going to go ahead and start making this one. Now, another great thing about this is you only need one pot. One pot, and then you have your brownie pan, you pop it in the oven, and that's it. That's pretty easy.
That is easy.
So to get this started, we're going to get a small saucepan over very low heat. So right now, Mom's doing that. She's heating up the saucepan, and into that, we're going to pop, what is it, 1 cup of dark chocolate chips?
Yes.
And we're also adding, and this might seem a little bit unusual, but 1/2 cup of full-fat coconut milk. And we're doing that. It's going to give a lot of like moisture and creaminess to the brownie. And I like the canned version. I just think there's a lot more, I don't know, it's a lot thicker than what you can just get out of the dairy case. And it's going to work a lot better in this recipe. Don't you agree?
I do. And that way your chocolate isn't so quick to burn.
Yeah, that's a good point. And plus, I mean, this doesn't use the whole can. So what coconut milk you have left over makes great overnight oats, smoothies, ice creams. There's a lot you can do with it. So that's an added bonus, I think.
Absolutely.
So after that, we're melting this down over very low heat because we don't want it to be too hot. And Mom's stirring right now, and we've got a really nice mixture going. And as soon as that's melted, she's going to immediately remove the saucepan from the heat. Next, we're going to crack 2 eggs and add those in.
Yes, you need to do this while you're stirring because if it's too hot, you're going to get scrambled eggs. That's why we did this over a low flame. And again, you keep stirring because if you let it sit at all on that hot pan, you won't like the result.
Yes. And once we've got our eggs all stirred in there, and we're also going to stir a little bit of vanilla extract in there because I don't know about you, but I feel like every baked good needs vanilla. It just adds that little something.
It does.
It's like forgetting salt if you don't have vanilla. You won't be able to maybe put your finger on why it's not as good, but it's just not. So mom has also stirred in the vanilla now, and we've got a nice mixture going. And now it's time for the dry ingredients. As I mentioned, we're using almond flour, and we've got, I think it's a cup and a quarter, right?
That's right.
And we're also going to add half a teaspoon of salt and half a teaspoon of baking soda. And she's still stirring. And now it's all coming together. It's a beautiful, thick batter. Now it's time for the more chocolate chips, because I said this is a very chocolatey recipe. So now she's going to fold in 3/4 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chips.
Yes, this also adds to the texture, so it's not just a gooey brownie. We like to have a little something inside.
Absolutely. And speaking of texture, we're also going to toss in 1/2 cup of chopped walnuts.
Yes, and that also adds protein.
Yeah, and walnuts are super good for you, and I think they're just delicious. I love a brownie with nuts in it. I don't know about other people, but I do. And also make sure you have 1/4 cup of chopped walnuts on the side, because we're going to use it to top the brownie, because everything needs a
hat.
Yes. Everything needs a hat, and it also just makes it look way more appetizing. So we've stirred that in. We're going to pour the batter into, we're using a 9x9 perfect sliced bakeware dish.
Perfect slice, that's right.
And so we're going to smooth that in after we buttered the pan, of course. And then we're going to sprinkle the last of those walnuts over the top of the batter, just make it look really nice. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to pop this in an oven at 350 degrees for about 20 minutes. You definitely don't want to overbake it, because then it's going to get really dry and nasty.
Right.
All right, so that is in the oven now. And I don't know about you, Mom, but I would say that is almost as easy as a boxed mix, but so much tastier.
Right, and again, we're trying to make this particular menu healthier than you would normally get. And with using almond flour instead of just plain white flour, you get protein.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guarantee you'll think that it tastes just as good.
And it really does. I can tell you, this is kind of a staple of things that I make, because I just think it's so delicious. And I've actually also done a few different versions of this, because you don't have to do semi-sweet chocolate chips. You can do dark chocolate chips, milk chocolate, white chocolate. You can do coconut. You can do sprinkles. I've even done a caramel apple version of this, where I have used butterscotch chips instead of the dark chocolate chips in the beginning. And then I added in sauteed pieces of chopped apple that had some cinnamon on them. And it was really good. So this is kind of a choose your own adventure. This is the adventure we've chosen. But, you know, it's open to your interpretation.
And that's one thing about a good brownie. Once you get the basic, you can change it any way you want to. For instance, for Halloween, I often top it with just a can of chocolate icing, and I crush up a Butterfinger, put it all over the top, and now it's orange and black.
And those are also super delicious. And since they have that lovely Butterfinger hat, they are also beautiful.
True.
All right, so those brownies are in the oven, and now while those are baking, we are going to move on to our main course, which is a delicious mac and cheese. I feel like that's something we can all agree is normally a staple in a TV dinner, or can be, and it's just so delicious.
Everybody likes it.
Everybody likes it. But, as I said, we're making this a little bit healthier, and like I said, I think a little bit tastier. So this version is actually vegan. Now, before you turn your nose up at that, and please don't, because just give it a chance. It is so delicious. Even my 2-year-old will inhale this mac and cheese. So this is pulled with very light modifications from one of my favorite recipe blogs, which is called Minimalist Baker. And the secret ingredient to making a vegan mac and cheese, anybody guess? Can you guess?
I can, but I don't want to give it away.
It is cashews. That is right. Raw cashews. So not roasted and salted, just straight up raw cashews. And we're going to tell you how you can make cashews into a delicious mac and cheese sauce. And let me tell you, this mac and cheese looks better than the Velveeta stuff, but it's that same kind of creamy texture that everybody loves. So what we're going to do first is we have 1.5 cups of raw cashews that we've been soaking in water all day. It helps soften them up so that when we blend them, it makes them really creamy. If you didn't do this ahead of time, you can also just pour boiling water over the cashews so that they get soft pretty quick.
And that you just need to cover them entirely.
Yes. And so we're going to take those cashews, and into a blender, we're also going to put the juice of 1 whole lemon. And we're going to add, this is kind of an unusual ingredient, 2 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. Now, that might sound weird, but they give things a really cheesy taste and also a ton of vitamins as well. So if this is something you're like, I don't even know what that is, you can buy it in a regular grocery store.
That's right. You can.
And you can use it on a lot of other things, but it gives this sauce that cheesy taste, the savory taste that everybody wants. So after that, we're going to add 2 cloves of garlic that we've peeled right into the blender. For the yellow color, we're going to add 1/4 teaspoon of ground turmeric.
Also very, very good for you.
And it gives it that color that we all know and love. And then finally, because I want a kick, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times you get a TV dinner and it looks really good, but then when you start eating it, you're like, this actually is kind of bland or it's way too salty. So we're going to add 1/4 teaspoon of ground chipotle pepper.
Yes, and that is guaranteed to give you that kick.
Yes. Finally, we're going to add 1 teaspoon of sea salt and then a few twists of freshly ground black pepper. Now, one of the final thing that will make this sauce come together is, so we've started getting a pasta pot boiling with water. We're going to use 1 box of, we use the Bonza gluten-free elbow macaroni pasta. And so that takes about 6 minutes to cook.
Right. So, this pasta is, by the way, made from chickpea flour. So again, you have nutrition instead of just calories.
Exactly. And I really like the taste of it. I can't tell the difference. So we've got that pasta cooking. And before you drain it, save that water because we're going to use about 1/2 cup of that reserved pasta water. We're going to pour that into the blender with all of our other sauce ingredients. And that's going to help the sauce come together. So I'm going to spare you guys the sound of the blender, but we have turned the blender on, we've blended this up, and it comes together in this beautiful, thick, creamy sauce. Mom's going to give it a taste test now. What do you think, Mom?
I have to say, I think that it's better than just a cheese sauce. You know, it has a good mouthfeel. It's nice and thick. Yeah, I love it.
And I have also actually used this same sauce as like a queso for nachos, and it's delicious. So it is a multi-purpose sauce, just putting that out there. If you had a little extra from the mac and cheese and you want wondering what can I do with this, nachos.
It's also really good on a baked potato.
Oh, I didn't even thought about that. That would be absolutely delicious. Okay, so we have our sauce. You can drain the rest of the pasta. We don't need any more pasta water. But if you think your sauce is too thick, you can add a little bit more water. But we're good on that front. So now all we're going to do is we're just going to pour the sauce in with the pasta and mix it up together.
Easy squeezy.
Easy squeezy. So we've got that ready. Our brownies are almost done. But before we kind of move on to the last component, I wanted to talk a little bit about why this is something that I regularly make for my family. So this past week, my mom and I have been really interested in nutrition. We've watched a documentary on Netflix called You Are What You Eat, and it is a twin study that looks at the effects of a vegan diet versus a healthy omnivorous diet. And a lot of that, I mean, we're both gluten-free vegetarians, and we have been for almost a decade, but it really made us think.
Yes, it did. You know, sometimes you just need a shot to tell you, oh, you're on the right path. Now, theirs was vegan and we're vegetarian, but I can tell you that once you realize where your food is sourced from, you'll realize you really need to cook it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I also, that same week, I listened to an audiobook called Ultra Processed People by Chris Van Tulliken, and he's a medical doctor, and he talks all about ultra processed food, which is basically anything when you look at the ingredients list and there's something that you don't have in your home kitchen. That's, you know, chemicals, artificial flavorings, artificial colorings, and all different kinds of preservatives. Things that you don't cook with, then it's probably UPF, ultra processed food. And TV dinners, no doubt about it, those are the ultra of the ultra processed food.
Yes, they're meant to be on your shelf for a long time.
Well, in your freezer for a long time.
In your freezer, that's true.
And as I was reading this book, I was thinking, okay, I mean, I can take something that everybody thinks is delicious, a TV dinner, and I can do it so much better. So that's part of the inspiration as well behind this, is taking the UPF out of the classic TV dinner, making it more nutritious, healthier, and honestly more delicious. And it really, it takes more time than a TV dinner, yes, but not that much more time.
No.
Because our brownies at this point, they're almost baked. We've got our mac and cheese done. So now, because we're going to do a throwback to the convenience of frozen foods and classic TV dinners, we're going to get some frozen peas up in here. So mom is grabbing some frozen peas from the freezer. We're going to defrost however much you want. I'm putting these on the side just because, you know, for the aesthetics of the classic TV dinner. But when I'm normally serving this to my family, I just mix them right in.
Yes, but you know, a little green goes a long way. And we want it to be pretty. We don't want it just to be bland looking. It has to be pretty.
Yes, so I also top the mac and cheese. We're plating now because we're going to do a little taste test here. So we've got our mac and cheese. We've got our brownies are about to come out of the oven. And then we've got our peas. And if I'm feeling fancy, I have also topped the mac and cheese before with coconut bacon, which sounds super weird. I know. But again, you don't knock it till you try it. All you do is you take the large flake unsweetened coconut, like the big strips of coconut, and you bake it with a little bit of tamari, which is soy sauce, some maple syrup, some black pepper, and some smoked paprika. And it doesn't taste exactly like bacon, I'll tell you that, but it is delicious. It has that umami flavor and that crunch.
And it's crispy.
And it's crispy. And I've used it on avocado toast, on sandwiches, and wraps. And as I found out, it is very good on this mac and cheese.
Yeah, you just, you know, bake it on a cookie sheet, and you may use it all on one dish, or you may just save half of it and put it on your next thing.
Yeah. And speaking of baking, our brownies are coming out of the oven. Oh my gosh, they smell so good.
They do.
I mean, the entire house is filled with the aroma of chocolate, which, I mean, nobody can hate that, right?
That's right.
So we're going to give them a little bit of time to cool, but, you know, let's just say they're cool enough now because we want a plate. I mean, I can't wait any longer. I don't know about you. But so because we have this lovely perfect slice pan, we can just take the custom slicer, line it up, and go ch-ch-ch-ch. That's what mom's doing right now. And we've got, how many pieces are you cutting this into, mom?
I'm doing 3x3s. So in our 9x9 pan, that gives us 9 pieces.
Which is awesome. And she's lifting one out now. And sorry, I took a little piece of it because I
couldn't. Big. It was so pretty. Why did you do that?
I know, but I just couldn't resist. And let me tell you guys, this is moist. It is chocolatey. It has a lot of texture and crunch from the walnuts. I mean, this is delicious. This is way better than a frozen brownie.
And you don't even have to be guilty because you're eating actually nutritious food.
That's true. And it's not ultra processed and it's delicious. So we're just going to slide that brownie, not the one that I took a chunk out of, you know, a new brownie, right on the plate. We've got our mac and cheese. We've got our defrosted frozen peas and we've got our brownie. And I mean, that looks absolutely delicious.
It does. It does. You could serve that to anyone, not just to a child.
But we do have a child here who's going to taste test this for us, and I'm also going to taste test it. So let's get some forks and let's dig in here, Mom.
Oh wow! You know, I don't think people would ever believe that this sauce was made from cashews.
I don't think they would either. And I mean, cashews are just absolutely delicious on their own. But I've used them in frostings. I've used them in this sauce. You can use them in a lot of different applications. I've made a spinach artichoke dip using a cashew cream, and I don't think anybody would know the difference. So they kind of are a wonder ingredient.
They really are. They kind of take on the flavor of whatever you add to them.
Oh, absolutely. You can do sweet or savory. And at least for this mac and cheese, it's super creamy from the cashew sauce. It's got a serious like kick from that chipotle that really adds a little special something. And it reminds me, like I said, of that very traditional Velveeta mac and cheese, but it is so much more nutritious and so much more filling because there's a ton of protein in it.
And it's super easy to make.
It is. And my little two-year-old is wandering in here, and I don't think she stopped to take a breath. She just hoovered that right up.
We may need some extra napkins, though.
I think so. Oh, but now she's noticed the brownie, so we're going to get a taste test on that. And Yep, she loves that one, too.
Oh, she's already saying more. I think she's going after yours.
Well, it's not too sweet. That's one of the things that I love about this, because I don't know about you guys, but I don't love something where I take one bite and it's just so sweet that I can't even taste anything. I just get sweetness.
That's right. Especially in these brownies, you want to taste chocolate. You know, isn't that the main ingredient here? Not just sugar.
Yes. And I've got that texture from the walnuts, and they're the whole chocolate chips that we folded in there. It's moist and flavorful, and it's a little bit more cake-like than a traditional really dense brownie, but I really like that.
I do too. I like them soft.
And then the peas, you've got these like little bursts of texture and flavor that are a really nice pop of freshness and a break from the creamy mac and cheese. So altogether, I think it's a super balanced meal.
It is a balanced meal.
Speaking of TV dinners, yes, can we freeze this? So the brownies, I usually store them in the fridge and they can last for a few days, but I don't see why you couldn't freeze them. The peas, I mean, yes.
They're frozen already.
They're frozen already. And then the mac and cheese, I have never tried to freeze it, but I don't see why you couldn't. Just once you're, you know, you can meal prep these, put them in your little Tupperware, and then pop them out, and you literally have made your own TV dinner.
That's right.
So here we go, guys. I mean, this is convenient. It is nutritious. It is delicious. It is inspired by my story, The Laugh Box. And I'm really happy that I now have a delicious dinner.
Me too. I'm staying for dinner.
Yeah, and so this gets 5 stars from us, guys. I hope you really enjoy it. I'm going to post all of the recipes in the show notes, and let me know if you try it. Thanks, Mom. And thank you guys again. This is the very last episode of season 4 of Horror Humor Hunger. I hope that you feel well-fed and well-entertained. And my hiatus is going to be very short. We've got, I think, 2 or 3 weeks until the next season starts. And I hope you join me again for next season, because season 5 is all about my novel, A Cold Night for Alligators, which will be published on April 10th. And it is currently available for pre-order, so you can go ahead, order yourself a copy, and then you can read along as we explore all different aspects of the book in the podcast, but we won't give any spoilers. So if you haven't read it yet and you're waiting for the podcast, we're going to be talking to all different kinds of really cool and interesting guests, and I hope you'll join me then. Thanks, everybody.